This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونستنصره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا صمدا لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم التنزيل يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فاسعوا إلى ذكر الله وذروا البيع ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون. Before I start on or embark on a new series, which is usually how I run Jumu'ah khutbas, for the next week or like a couple of weeks, there's a few topics I just want to talk about in a miscellaneous manner because I think they're worth talking about. And over maybe 3 or 4 weeks within August, I did a series on the significance of Jumu'ah after Isha, small hadith and some commentary on them. And they're all put together and you can access them if you want. And I wanted to give a khutbah to kind of summarize why I think it's something worth talking about, although you may feel that it's a recycled topic. Jumu'ah is an extremely significant and unique aspect of our deen. It's very powerful. It's very meaningful. And I can attest that without Jumu'ah being a part of our deen, Islam wouldn't be what it is today in terms of the numbers and in terms of the spread. Jumu'ah is our anchor, always has been. Two or three Muslims find each other somewhere and in the middle of nowhere, they establish a Jumu'ah. They find a room and they start a Jumu'ah. And that's how communities, you know, are built. And I feel like, especially after COVID, there was a little bit of a drop-off in terms of how we attend it and how we treat it. And not to say that before it was perfect, but I feel it a little more clearly now, and I want to address it. And today, specifically because my younger brothers and sisters don't have school, I want them to hear this, because it really is for you more than anyone else. So I'm going to share with you a few hadith. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says the hadith narrated by Imam Nasa'i and Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah and others, narrated to us by Aws ibn Aws, where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, "Inna min afdali ayyamikum yawm al-jum'ah fihi khuliqa Adam wa fihi qubid wa fihi nafkhatu wa fihi sa'qatu fa'akthiru min as-salati alayya fihi fa'inna salatakum ma'rudatun alay." The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, amongst the best days of all your days is the day of Jum'ah. That's when Adam was created. That's when he died. That's when the nafkha happens, the saqa happens. And your salah upon him, alayhi salatu wasalam, is given to, he sees it. It is displayed for him, alayhi salatu wasalam, especially on that day, specifically on Jumu'ah. It's very clearly displayed for him. And he responds to you, alayhi salatu wasalam, because Jumu'ah is our celebratory day of the week. We only have 2 days of Eid, but every week we have a celebratory day. It's Jumu'ah. It's not like how other faiths deal with their day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need rest. He didn't rest on the seventh day. Jalla jalalullah. And it's not haram for you to work on Friday. You work on Friday. It's just you treat the prayer of Jumu'ah with a certain degree of respect and significance. And you celebrate that the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to do so. Which is what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in the hadith that I put together, around 20 of them, explained to us. This is a topic that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is very clear upon. He's very clear on this. And I'm going to tell you why, inshallah, at the end. Hadith in Bukhari, he says alayhi salatu wasalam, this is a hadith that encompasses the whole idea, where I don't have to narrate too many of them for you. قال, لا يغتسل رجل يوم الجمعة ويتطهر ما استطاع من طهر ويدهن ما استطاع من دهن ويتطيب من أطيب طيبه ثم يخرج لا يفرق بين اثنين فيصلي ما كتب له ويستمع للإمام إلا غفر له من الجمعة إلى الجمعة. That a person will not take the shower of the day of Jumu'ah and then get dressed in good clothes and they make sure they smell good and they leave early and they don't walk in pushing people aside because they want to get up front. And they listen to the imam, except their sins will be forgiven from one Jum'ah to the other. Alayhi salatu wasalam will be more specific. And you say that if you tell someone who's talking beside you to listen, then that's laghu, faqad lagha, meaning you've already ruined the ajr of your Jum'ah. وَمَنْ لَغَى فَلَا جُمْعَةَ لَهُ. If you communicate with anyone within Jum'ah time, aside from Allah and the imam who is speaking to you, then you lose the full ajr of Jum'ah. Any form of communication. Would you check your phone during salah? Then you don't check it during Jumu'ah. Just like you wouldn't do it in the middle of dhuhr prayer and take out and take a look, you don't do it during Jumu'ah either. You can't attend Jumu'ah without wudu because it's a part of prayer. Dhuhr is 4 rak'at. We only do 2 because these are the other 2. What we're doing right now, this is salah. This is the form of salah. No communication with anyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's beautiful because we come together. Because we're supposed to come together. The hadith narrated by Imam Ahmad with an acceptable chain of narration by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would say, إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ الْجُمُعَةِ قَعَدَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ عَلَىٰ أَبْوَابِ الْمَسَاجِدِ فَيَكْتُبُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ مَنَازِلِهِمْ. The malaika sit in front of any masjid and they write down who's coming. They write down based on when they came and how they came. Like whether they actually treated Jumu'ah with the respect it deserved or whether they did not. And they write in front of their names whether this is an A Jumu'ah prayer or a B or a C, and what they get in terms of reward. قَالَ فَإِذَا جَلَسَ الْإِمَامُ عَلَى الْمِنْبَرِ. Once the imam sits on the minbar, طُوِيَةُ الصُّحُفِ. They close their documents, their records. وَدَخَلُوا الْمَسْجِدَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الذِّكْرِ. And then the malaika come into the masjid and they listen like you. So right now you're in the presence of them. You may not feel it. We don't feel it because we have lost all sensitivity spiritually. But they're amongst you today. You can't really say that with certainty any other time. You can. You can say most likely at this time malaika are present. Most likely. And you'll be correct. But you can never say with certainty really outside of a few times and places, Jumu'ah being one of them. That they're amongst you as you attend Jumu'ah. You have the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the barakah of them and his angels amongst you during Jumu'ah. This is the significance of it. It's important. Muhammad ibn Abi Umar al-Adni in his collection narrates to us an authentic hadith where the Prophet alayhi salam is on the minbar and a guy walks in and the guy is like putting his, he's walking, he wants to come sit up front. He sees a spot. So he comes up front. He's putting his feet right beside people's heads as he walks ahead of them. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, مَا بَالُ أَقْوَامٍ يَلْتَهُونَ ثُمَّ يَأْتُونَ إِلَى الْجُمُعَةِ يَتَخَطَّوْنَ رِقَابَ النَّاسِ يُؤْذُونَهُمْ. Why do people waste time on Jumu'ah and then come in late and put their feet in front of people's heads? They want to come up front. So the guy says, Ya Rasulullah, that's not the case, but I fell asleep, I woke up, and I made wudu, and I came. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam didn't accept his apology. قَالَ أَوَيَوْمَ وُضُوءٍ هَذَا. This is the day where you make wudu and come to the masjid? That's what we taught you? That the day of Jumu'ah is a day where you just make wudu and come? No. The day of Jumu'ah, you have a shower, you get dressed right, you come early. It's Jumu'ah. It's a day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specified for you. It's meaningful. There's something there. There's an hour within Jumu'ah where if you ask Allah something, you're accepted immediately. It's like Ramadan. There's an hour on Jumu'ah. We don't know what it is. Most scholars say it's that right before Salat al-Jumu'ah. To recite Surah al-Kahf and to sit and make dua. This is the beauty of what this day is for us. And we should never, ever let it go. Now, Jumu'ah is much more, I'm just giving you this, the adab of Jumu'ah. You're not allowed to harm people when you come for Jumu'ah, ever. So please watch out when you're coming for Jumu'ah, where you park and how you park and how you drive. Because if you harm people on the way here, it doesn't make up for anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not, because it's Jumu'ah, it's okay. No, it's not. It's not okay at all. If you're late and you can't make it, then you're late and you don't make it. And you carry the responsibility for being late and not making it and not leaving early and planning your day so you can make it to Jumu'ah. And that goes for everyone, specifically men. You have no excuse. There is a few valid excuses. Like if you're a pilot, probably you shouldn't leave the plane and go pray. If you're a surgeon, maybe don't leave the guy open and go pray. There's a couple of exceptions to this rule, fine. But outside of that, you have to pray Jumu'ah. And you have to let those around you that this is the time for your worship. And you go for it. It's your right. It's your constitutional right. And more importantly, it's your Islamic obligation. And I'm saying this for the younger kids here. This is something you have to understand. You're obligated to pray Jumu'ah. Go to your schools. Go to the people. Go to the administration at your schools and ask for space for Jumu'ah. And then assemble, even if it's two or three people, and pray Jumu'ah. Like there's no khatib. You be the khatib. Come, I'll tell you how to give a khutbah. In 5 minutes, you can say something simple. You don't have to give an hour and a half. You can do something quick and pray and get the ajr of Jumu'ah. Honestly, I think we don't need to do that. I think students should be able to come and pray in the masajid of the city and actually learn something. But I'm okay at least with that. But we cannot, under any circumstance, give up our right of Jumu'ah. We're not allowed to. Islamically, we're not allowed to. Jumu'ah does five things, five basic things. Now, you can argue that it hasn't been doing those five basic things. Fine, maybe it hasn't. But this is what Jumu'ah is for. Jumu'ah is for leadership. Leadership in whatever form that looks like. In this community, it's not political, and it's not really financial, it's not social, it's just spiritual. We try to offer some degree of spiritual leadership, maybe some organization of community programming. That's what we try to do. That's what leadership we have. Jumu'ah used to be bigger than that. Jumu'ah used to be much more meaningful than that. The leader of the community would get on the minbar and speak and give the plan and say what the next steps are going to be. And people would get on board with the movement. And they all had the same vision. That was very important for the community to actually function. Dysfunctional communities come from the fact that there's no vision. There's no united vision. We don't know what we're doing because there's no leadership. In our communities, we can do it because Jumu'ah is there. Jumu'ah is installed by God so that we can have leadership. How we messed that up is beyond me. I think it's worth a couple of PhD assertions for sure. Figuring out how we managed to mess this up. Because right now, this is Jumu'ah. There are how many million Jumu'ahs are happening today? All across the world. Muslims, the majority of Muslims go and they attend. Just a little bit of guidance, a little bit of vision. You can move things. You can make differences for people. You can improve their lives. You can improve their well-being. And you can get rid of problems. So for leadership, number two, for an identity, it's a part of who you are. It brings you back to what you're a part of. As a Muslim, your identity, a part of it is the significance of Jumu'ah and the prayer of Jumu'ah and being and listening. It's a part of our, especially here, it's a part of our identity, for sure. Maybe elsewhere it's not as clear, but for sure here it is. It's a really strong piece of their identity. So your kids, they should know. No, you take them out of school, take them to Jumu'ah. Let them. This isn't a big deal. This is a part of who you are. You're Muslim, you attend this. That'll do something for them from an identity perspective. Number three, It's for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In case all week you got busy, you come to the masjid, and hopefully someone like me is able to remind you of the grace and the magnificence and the supremacy and the forgiveness and the love of Allah the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala, and bring your heart maybe a little bit closer to Him jalla jalaluhu, and help you take a step back and reevaluate your life and be a little bit better. That's the point of the dhikr. Number four is for ilm, is for knowledge, to make sure that the narrative is clear, to make sure people understand what their deen is about, that we remove ambiguity and we provide clarity in terms of the knowledge that people need to move forward within their daily lives and as a community. And number five, for jama'ah, the sense of togetherness, the sense of unity, that we're a group. We don't pray alone, even though it's a really intimate action. Prayer is very intimate. It's very personal. You're speaking to God. You're speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very intimate, but you do it in group. And not in a small one, in a big one. In a big group where it's hot and sweaty. And you do it anyways because it's a part of the jama'ah. And these are the five issues, these are the five basic messages that jama'ah offer. Maybe we haven't been doing an amazing job at that. I'll give you it. But it doesn't mean that jama'ah loses its significance. All that means is that people have to start actually attending more and demanding more from those who offer it. And I specifically give this khutbah today. If you're young and you're at school, you're not exempted from Jumu'ah. If you're a student at a university, you're not exempted from Jumu'ah. If you work, you have a job, you're not exempted from Jumu'ah. We have to. You cannot give up your right. This is your right. You have the right to a religious time to go and pray, and you should never give that up. You should never give that up. I'll tell you what happened when I first went into residency. And the first Jumu'ah I came, and I said, "Is there no, like, do we not get like a timing for Jumu'ah?" I asked the program director, "Do I get time for Jumu'ah?" The answer was the following. "Well, none of the Muslim doctors before you asked for it." That was the answer. So I went to the Muslim doctors before me and had my way. Of course, you should have. You ask. You don't want to pray? Don't. But ask for it. Because when you don't ask for it, then I don't get it. And then no one does. You never give up what is yours. Jumu'ah is a part of who we are. You should never give it up. You should make sure that you attend it. You should ask for it. And when we do so, we get it, and it's respected, and it's protected time, and people can pray Jumu'ah. We don't have to run Jumu'ah at weird times. We don't have to be running really quickly for Jumu'ah because people want to get out of here. We can actually enjoy the beauty of what Salat al-Jumu'ah is and the celebratory hour that it is for us as people, and actually enjoy and embrace all of the reasons for why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it mandatory upon us. Khwani wa khawati, khutbati al-yawm anil Jumu'ah. ولعلك تستمع إلى كلامي فتقول خطبة مكررة وكلام مكرر وتعبنا من سماعه لكن الهدف من هذا الكلام أننا نحيا في بلد لا نسمع فيه أصوات المؤذنين لصلاة الجمعة يعني تملأ أرجاء المدينة فهناك نقص عند الذين ينشؤون في هذه البلاد في اتصالهم يعني مع ثقافة يوم الجمعة هي ثقافة إسلامية بامتياز جميلة أسسها النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام هي من كلام الله جل جلاله جعلت ليكون للمسلمين قيادة ليكون لهم هوية ليذكروا الله ليتعلموا ليجتمعوا لها أهداف جميلة صلاة يوم الجمعة وعلينا أن نري يوم الجمعة احترامها هذا احترامه هذا اليوم يجب أن يحترم يجب أن يعامل بشكل محترم لا ينبغي للإنسان يأتي متأخرا أن يأتي ولم يقم بالسنن يوم الجمعة لا ينبغي للإنسان أن يعطي نفسه حجة أنا أعمل وأنا أدرس وأنا يعني اللهم إلا إذا كنت يعني تعمل بأعمال تركها فيه مضرة على البشر وهذا قليل لعلك يعني جراح أو يعني شيء مثل هذا أما سوى ذلك فالكل قادر على التزام يوم الجمعة عظم يوم الجمعة في بيتك عظمه حتى يعظمه من بعدك أولادك عظم لهم يوم الجمعة وعظم لهم حضور صلاة الجمعة والتجهز له هذا يوم عيد هذا يوم الإنسان يأتي فيه بأفضل ملابسه ويقرأ القرآن ويذكر الله ويدعو ويجتمع مع أحبابه ويستمع الذكر يجب أن نعيد للجمعة احترامها ونجب أن نشجع أولادنا في مدارسهم أن يقوموا بصلاة الجمعة ألا يتأخروا عنها وألا لا ينبغي أن نتنازل عن شيء هو من حقوقنا هذا حقك في الدستور هنا تمام؟ كلكم تأتون من بلدان لا في دستور ولا في ضراب السخن ولا في هذا الكلام كله تأتي من بلد ما أحد فيه لا يقرأ دستور ولا يهتم أصلا بالحقوق لما يكون في بلاد هناك دساتير وهناك حقوق وجب عليك أن تدافع عن حقوقك لا من أجل نفسك بل من أجل الجيل القادم الذي يتنازل عن حقه مرة يتنازل عنه مرة أخرى ومرة ثانية ورابعة ويعتاد غيره على تنازله عن حقه ثم يندثر ذلك الحق ثم ينسى ويضيع فما يتنازل أحد عن حقه عن حق ديني من حقوقه هو حق يوم الجمعة وهذا أمر أمرنا به من قبل الله سبحانه وتعالى هو حق علينا أمامه جل جلاله وقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم يا فوز المستغفرين استغفر الله الحمد لله وحده وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهده. I can rant on Jumu'ah for a very long time, but I'm going to end with that. I'll keep it simple for you. I'll add a few things more. But one of the things he used Jumu'ah for, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is to explain where the Muslims were and where they needed to go and what they were trying to do. That was an important use of his Jumu'ah. And today I'm going to take a few moments and just share with you our philosophy or the philosophy that we built this place upon. And share with you some information and offer you a pitch, inshallah. The Prophet ﷺ would do this all the time. He did not run fundraisers. And if you know me, you know that this is something I have a chip on my shoulder when it comes to it. I don't like it. I don't like the concept of masajid and Islamic institutions functioning as businesses, looking at people walking through the door as dollar bills, always having their hands in people's pockets, interrupting salawat and Ramadan and other important moments and forcing people to give before they leave. I don't like it. It's disrespectful because masajid are places of service. First and foremost, this is a place of service. If you take upon yourself to work in a masjid, then you're just saying, on behalf of you all, I will serve those who come here. And that's just what this is. You're here to serve the ibadallah and make sure that they're taking care of you, doing something for them. And it's a blessing. And today I'm not here to brag by any form or meanings. Actually, what I'm here to do is to show you the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. How Allah's bounty upon me specifically and upon this team is beyond what I can explain because we've been very fortunate, very blessed to be able to serve and do things for people. But he did that, alayhi salatu wasalam, on the minbar. He used the minbar. He would explain the vision, where they are, where they need to go, and then people would pitch in with whatever they had. Some will pitch in with their time, some with their effort, some with their wealth, with whatever people had. I'm going to go through, and I'm trying not to take too much time with this. There's a couple of slides to show you how far we've come over the last year and a half. And the reason that I'm doing this, that recently, alhamdulillah, we were able to obtain charity status. Before that, we didn't have charity status before. The way we ran was the generous help from a lot of specific individuals that preferred to go unnamed, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them. Getting the charity status took a very long time, took a year longer than I thought it was going to take. Poor planning on my behalf. May Allah grant the ajal for those who worked on it very hard because it took a lot of work as well in the background. Right now, the number of programs that we run, some of them are up there. Yeah. And when it comes to I'll give you a few examples. For the Quran program, for example, men, boys and girls is over 250, and there's 200 on the waiting list. I'm going to give you waiting list numbers so you understand what I'm going here. 200 on the waiting list. For the adult program, men and women with different, obviously, proficiencies, there's 100 people that come. For the Imam Development Academy, you have 450 students that have taken courses. 130 students have actually, or more than 130, have been given certificates through this academy so far. The youth development program last year, we ran with around 250 students with another maybe 70 on the waiting list. This year, we had to break down a little bit. We had to crunch down the numbers because it got too busy. So we have roughly 150 students in that program with 100 on the waiting list. And that's not counting all the other communal and social activities that you see up there. Most of the people, if not the vast majority of them who work here are volunteers. Myself, none of this is paid. We're not looking for it to be paid or refuse to be for it to be paid. Sheikh Al-Janabi, Brother Khalid Muhammad, the sisters who run the mentorship programs. The majority of people who work here are volunteers. They don't want money. And we're not actually asking for that to change. We want that to stay the same. The philosophy for me was that instead of starting an institution and putting your hand in people's pockets right off the bat and asking, okay, give us money, which is the bad reputation that not only Islamic institutions have, but all religious organizations throughout history have had, that you go and they just ask you to donate. So always give us as much as you can. I don't like that. I thought that was, people were fed up with it. I was fed up with it. So we decided we're going to run a full year and not say a word. You don't hear anything about fundraising. Just here's what we can do. Here's the number of services that we can offer. Hopefully, inshallah, you'll feel that this place is trying to actually, you know, push the wheel a bit and move the needle. And alhamdulillah, we tried our best to achieve that to the best of our ability. And then the idea is after that, if you serve for a year, and we ended up doing a year and a half, if people find value in it and we reach out for support, then that support will come through naturally. Actually, the way that I see it is that if we look for support and we don't get it, that usually means that we're not really doing well. That's how I look at it. Like if you're asking for support and people aren't willing to support you, probably means that you're not offering anything beneficial to them. So you should either go back to the drawing board or shut down because it's not really worth the time. And to me, that's as simple as that. We run, we serve, and then we ask to be supported to run, to continue to run things, to make sure that we have the ability to pay the hired employees for some of these programs, because you need people who are not always volunteers, but people who can be paid for stuff, and to provide whatever stationery or content that is required, or make sure that the maintenance of the place continues to be taken care of. And if that comes through, then we're able to continue. If it doesn't, then we know that this is not worth your time, and I can go and find something else to do with my time. But this is the idea behind it. What we're looking for today, inshallah, and I just want to share with you a few slides of the. This is actually what's running on a daily basis in the message. We'll share these slides with you. You can take a look and you can see what you're interested in. What I think is of benefit for us is that if you feel that what we're doing is helpful to you or to the community, and the philosophy here is that you come in, you get served. We don't make people pay for anything here. All of the services that we offer are free. We don't. Some people may disagree with me and say, no, you should. I don't like it. I don't think we need to. I think masajid should be able to offer the Muslims. This is a masjid. It's for Muslims. You should be able to walk in here and be served without someone asking you to pay for anything. That's what I believe. Some people disagree with me, but that's my philosophy on the matter. That if we can do something that's monthly. So if you're thinking, yeah, I want to support, but I don't have a lot, I can do 100. Don't put 100. Divide that by 12 and put in something monthly. I need to know how to pace myself. This place has to figure out what pace we have and how far we can spread our wings and what can we cover and what we can't. Because when I talk about waiting lists, they're only getting bigger. And we have to figure out, okay, how far can we go? How many people can we actually hire? And what can we think about in terms of moving, expanding, and actually doing some more work? So what we're looking for is that if you feel obliged to do so, if there's something that makes sense to you and you think it's helpful, think of something that works for you. Do not overburden yourself. I'm not here to give you an emotional pitch so that you go ahead and you give more than you can, you bite more than you can chew, and give more than you can afford. No, that is not what I'm looking at. For something that works for you, that gives us an idea of how much we can actually move forward. The financial statements of this place will be shared in the near future. We'll explain exactly how much there is, exactly how much it's costing a month, and we'll show you, and then you can take a look at it and you can make a decision in terms of how much you feel you want to participate and contribute and help. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did this as simple as I'm explaining it to you, even with less words. He would just say, this is what we're doing, how much we need. And he put his abaya alayhi salatu wasalam, and people would offer whatever they could offer. And that's how they built almost everything in Medina. And that's how they built not just the masajid and the homes, and that's how they built their armies to defend themselves and to make sure that they lived long. And this is what, you know, I believe the mimbar is for. I believe the mimbar is designed to do that. I don't think we need to take a hotel somewhere downtown and make the ticket $150 and we all come in suits and sit. I don't like it. I'll say it open. I don't like it. And I will continue to say I don't like it. And every time they do it, I'll tell them, this is not right. This is not how you do it. This is not how you fundraise. This is not how you fundraise. Muslims don't do it that way. We're only the ones who can afford a table of $300 to go. No. You fundraise, you show people what you're doing, where you're going. If they believe in it, they strong by. If not, then you're not doing what they want. And then you have to go back and you have to figure out what it is that people are actually looking for. That is how this has to run. And that's my philosophy on it. Now, I could be wrong. But that's what I think, Wallahu A'lam ta'ala, Wallahu ta'ala A'lam, is the best bet. So that's what we're offering today. This is the pitch. The QR code is there. You can choose what programs you would like to help out. We're going to keep it up, inshallah. We are able to offer, inshallah, tax receipts moving forward for those who want that. We weren't able to do that before, which is why we never talked about this before. I don't plan to pitch this every week or every month or even every year. I plan for this one time, I explain what we're doing, and then you make your decision on how you want to move forward, depending on how you feel this is working for you, inshallah, and the value of the services that you're receiving. I hope that was of benefit for all of you. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ كَمَا صَلَّيْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَعَلَى آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَبَارِكْ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ كَمَا بَارَكْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَعَلَى آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي الْعَالَمِينَ إِنَّكَ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ وَارْضَ اللَّهُمَّ عَنِ الْأَرْبَعَةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ السَّادَةِ الْحُنَفَاءِ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرَ وَعُثْمَانَ وعلي وارض اللهم عن أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وعن آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعن صحابته الغر الميامين وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين ونفس كروب المكروبين وارفع الغم عن المغمومين وارفع الظلم عن المظلومين واحقن دماءنا ودماء المسلمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المرابطين في المسجد الأقصى ورده إلينا في العاجل القريب يا رب العالمين وردنا أجمعين إليك وإلى دينك ردا جميلا وتب علينا من جميع ذنوبنا توبة نصوحة طهرنا بها قلبا وجسدا وروحا وما ذلك عليك اللهم بعزيز ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون Two quick things حكمة هذه the Hikmah, the institution, alhamdulillah, in our city that does a lot of political advocacy for us. They have a dinner. I'm not sure exactly the timing for it, but look it up. Obviously, the work that they do is very important, and they're worthy of your support. And the YCCI also has an event next Friday, it's around 6 o'clock, to target or talk about Islamophobia. There are speakers. Please also get involved with that. If you have kids in high school and primary school, it's something worthy for them to attend, inshallah.